Mae Jameson once said, "We look at science as something very elite, which only a few people can learn. That's just not true. We have to start early and give kids a foundation. Kids live up or down to expectations." Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Makers Today, a special series here on Fish Fry, where we highlight the movers and shakers in the maker space. My name is Amelia Dalton, and today my guest is Lorraine Underwood. Lorraine and I chat about her participation in the hashtag Badass Women Makers and Engineers project at Element 14, the cool projects that Lorraine has designed, and why she wrote the book Save the World with Code. So, without further ado, let's welcome Lorraine to Fish Fry Makers Today. Hi, Lorraine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. It's lovely to chat here.
So you participated in the Element 14 contest called hashtag Badass Women Makers and Engineers Project. So first, you've been a member of the Element 14 community since 2017. So what inspired you to join and get involved with Element 14?
So yeah, Element 14, I don't know, it came out of nowhere for me. I was aware of kind of Farnell and CPC, you know, as places to buy products. But I didn't realize that there was a whole kind of community attached to that, where a place like to ask questions. I have to say, I'm a bit of a lurker. So I did join in 2017, but I don't think I really participated. You know, I was just reading other people's posts and other people's questions. I don't think I was, I wouldn't say brave enough, but I just didn't feel I had any unique questions to add myself. So I joined in 2017 and I just kind of hung around watching other people do like amazing stuff and share it on the community.
So let's talk a little bit about that contest. Tell my audience what you created and the motivation behind your creation.
Yeah, it feels like so long ago. It was only last year. I can't believe that was only last year. So I created an intercom system. Yeah, I think it was just as lockdown was starting and I was thinking that my office would be in the loft and that my husband would be working in the basement. So we would be working in different rooms and we wouldn't be able to just shout at each other, or we generally send each other so many different messages, you know, WhatsApp or Hangouts or a text message. You never know what you're supposed to be checking. So I thought like an intercom system inside the house would be really cool and useful to have. I thought maybe we'd only be in lockdown for a couple of months. And what I really wanted to do was to hack something. So I found these old phones, these old kind of touch dial phones. So I took them apart and I put a Raspberry Pi in each of them. I wired up the buttons to the Raspberry Pi. So that was kind of why I created it. Kind of it was a need, you know, it was something, but it was also a need that turned into like your extra own project. I need an intercom system. I don't need old phones to do this. But I think it would be really fun and interesting. I think a lot of people like these kind of funky phones and would like to know how to hack them themselves. So it's kind of like a show and tell project as well. Like if you want to do this, this is how you could do it.
Okay, so you also wrote a book called Save the World with Code. So let's talk about your motivation to write this book. And for my audience who are interested in getting their kids started with this kind of electronic designs, what kind of stuff will they learn?
It's kind of based on physical computing. So it's the Microbit, Circuit Playground Express, and the Raspberry Pi. You don't have to have all three devices. So I want to give people a choice of where they could start. So maybe they already own a Raspberry Pi, but they haven't started on it, or they haven't started their kids on it. If you're a Linux developer, you know what a Raspberry Pi is. You know how to work it. But where do you start with an eight-year-old? You know, you don't just start giving them commands to type into a Linux screen. So it kind of gives them some starter projects, but really simple kind of accessories, alligator clips and buttons and tin foil that they can start creating their own little projects. And it kind of builds up. So they start with like a beginner project, just add a button. The next project, add the button that makes the buzzer go off. So it kind of builds on their previous knowledge. My motivation to write it is just McGraw-Hill approached me and I just have so many ideas in my brain. And I thought, well, this is great. This is such a great opportunity. So like the next day I had a proposal, a 3-page proposal written for them. I wish I'd gone for less projects because it was so much work. But I really enjoyed writing the book. And the photographs are all my children and their friends. So it's a really kind of personal book. But I wanted to kind of highlight that coding is for everyone and that coding and computing in general will save the world. if we ever find solutions to a lot of the world problems, it'll be done using technology. So we need more people who are familiar with technology and happy with technology. So that's why I kind of named the book Save the World, because that's how it's going to happen.
I love it. So I was quite impressed by your website, LaRainbow, and you have a variety of really cool projects in there. Do you have a favorite creation you've worked on recently?
Yeah, the website. I kind of think that's how the book came about. You know, the website, I'd redone my website. It used to be an old WordPress website, but I'd redone it and made it kind of a bit more stylish and put all my projects on there. I think that's how the book people found me. And that's how I kind of got the book. And then Element 14 found me and I started doing the videos. I have to say the website's probably taken a bit of a back burner lately. You know, there's not as many projects on there as my latest ones. Like my favorite project ever is my giant 3D cube, which is kind of like the project that doesn't define me. You know, I kind of try and make simple projects that involve no soldering, that are easy for beginners to make and easy for children to get into. Well, the cube is not. The cube is completely, it's my showcase piece. You know, it's a complete show off. I made PCBs for it. I did a lot of soldering. I did laser cutting. I did drilling, but it was just my baby. You know, it took me so long to build it. It's a 3D cube. It's a meter cubed, and there are 8 by 8 by 8 lights in it. So there's 512 lights in it, and each light sits underneath a ping pong ball. And so just the effect looks really good. I think it just makes a big, great background image. So the background image to my website is the cube.
It's quite beautiful, I must say. So you're also a senior teaching associate at Lancaster University. So tell me a bit about your role at the university. And it seems like you were really drawn to teaching in general. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I finished my degree in computer science, I kind of hadn't found my passion for like physical computing at that point. You know, I'd done programming as a kind of a means to an end. I thought I'd get a good programming coding job out of it. But like after my 4-year degree, I did a year as a software test engineer at Microsoft. And a really great company to work from, but I sat in a cubicle emailing someone 2 cubicles down. And I was just like, oh, I don't want to do this, which is a bit late in a 4-year degree. So I was a scout leader, and that was something that I really, really enjoyed. So after my degree, I did a postgrad in teaching. I became a teacher. So I was a high school teacher for 7 years. So when I joined Lancaster University, someone found out that I used to be a teacher. So I joined Computing at School, which was teaching teachers how to teach computing. And then I became a senior teaching associate. We have a very similar system to you guys. We have a major and a minor at Lancaster. So you do your major and then you can do a minor in any other subject in the university. So I teach on the minor. So basically teach non-computer science students computing. And that's what I'm a senior teaching associate from. It's kind of, we created the course last year. This is its second run. So we teach programming, we teach digital crafting, we teach virtual reality. Kind of a mixed bag of all the favorite things that we like about computing to these non-CS guys, and they really enjoy it. And it's really like, my boss is like, do you want to do it next year? I was like, yes, this is our baby. You can't, what do you mean? I wouldn't do it next year? Like, so that's why I'm a senior teaching associate on the minor in creative and applied computing. That's kind of my side hustle though. I'm actually a PhD student at Lancaster University. So it's full-time. That's actually what I do.
Yeah, that's a very much full-time job.
Yes.
You are a very busy woman, Lorraine. Wow. All right. Well, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Before our interview, we were talking about food, so this is perfect. If you could have one thing right now, Lorraine, you know, food is hard to come by. Our favorite dishes may not be at arm's length. So if you could have one thing right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed. You need a passport to get there. Heck, it's on the other side of the UK. What would you have?
Yeah, I'm sure loads of people have said their mother's home dish, but I'm not going to say that. So a takeaway in Dublin that was near my university that did these amazing wraps with like basically chicken kebab, it was. But I don't know if you see those kebabs where they hang the lump of meat
for
in
sure.
the window. Yeah. So well, I didn't like that beef. I was more the chicken person, but it was. I always remember sitting there at 11 a.m. watching them prepare that lump of meat. And it was like an art form while I was eating this amazing chicken kebab, garlic mayo. But it was just, I think it is closed down. I think just next to my university, it was a great place to go before you went out to fill your stomach.
Sure.
It was just good memories with good friends.
That sounds lovely. Well, Lorraine, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. It was lovely chatting to you.
And if you want even further information about the cool stuff that Lorraine has created, buy her book or get more information about the Element 14 community, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Are you a maker? Well, tell me your story. I am looking for guests for this show. If you would like to join me on a future episode of Makers Today, please send me an email at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com. And you can always reach me on LinkedIn as well. Speaking of social media, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should! You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And yes, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For July 21st, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.